Believe it's going to bless you and will greatly educate you, and it will enlighten you, and your life will never again be the same. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. If you believe it with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So let us pray. Father, we're grateful to you for this morning, and we thank you for another opportunity to share the word. Thank you for everyone who was able to make it to the service today. We believe it is you who has worked in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We pray, Lord, that you will visit us, that the Holy Spirit will be here to guide and lead the teaching and sharing of your word. I pray, Lord, that none of us will leave the same. I pray that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. In Jesus' name, bless us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, blessed Comforter, Counselor, and Intercessor, you are our helper. You are our helper and our advocate. Strengthen us and our standby. Holy Spirit, share with you a series of messages about demons and how to deal with them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to share with you about demons and how to deal with demons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, how many of you believe in the existence of demons? Raise up your hand if you believe in the existence of demons. Wonderful. Now raise up your hand if you do not believe in the existence of demons. Okay. Now raise up your hand if you do not know what a demon is. Maybe it's a type of food or a kind of car or something. Okay. Hallelujah. Looks like everybody knows what a demon is, and everybody seems to believe in the existence of demons. Hallelujah. Now, every Christian has to understand the nature and operation of demons. Amen. It is very important for us to understand it, because the Bible actually says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, a Christian's fight is not against humans. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right, say hello to the gold king. World's number one goalkeeper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So I am saying that every Christian is engaged in a warfare. Amen.
Amen.
Every Christian is engaged in a warfare. And the Bible says or describes the warfare in terms of a wrestling match. Do you understand? Now, if you watch a wrestling match, you see that the people are brutal. Is it not true? Yeah. They are brutal. You see that the people in the ring are not joking with each other at all. Do you understand? Yeah. And as much as possible, they try to put fear in their opponent and try to intimidate him as much as they possibly can. And when they have the chance, they try to wound him, you see, if possible, break his neck so that he doesn't rise up again. Do you understand? So when they wrestle, then they often, you know, in the match, they I think you lift the person's legs in a way and you have him in a certain position, and then someone counts him out and then means you win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the Bible describes our spiritual warfare in such terms and says that we are involved in some kind of a wrestling or spiritual wrestling encounter. And the Bible says the opponent is not flesh and blood. That means the opponent is not another human being. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you're here and you think your problem is another human being, number one, you got it wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you feel that your wrestling or your struggle is with another human being, then the Bible says you got it wrong. You see, and it's dangerous to misidentify your enemy when you are in a battle. If you don't know who your enemy is. You see, yesterday when we were watching this international soccer match, you get it. Now, as soon as the game started, then somebody asked, so how do you know who is on which side? You get it? Because no one was in any particular jersey that identified them. There was only one person who had special cleats from Uruguay. Special pink football cleats that he borrowed from Suarez. There was only one such person. So he was easy to identify. But everyone else was just in mixed clothing. And I think whoever asked that question did ask a very valid question. Because here we are, we're playing. How do we know who is against us and who is for us? Do you understand? So when you're involved in a battle, it is critical that you are able to identify the enemy very distinctly. Amen.
Amen.
And that is why they put on jerseys in all these tournaments. You know, if you put on blue, if you wear blue, I wear white. If you wear black, I wear red. So that we are not confused at all about where the ball is supposed to go and who we are supposed to be tackling. Now, unfortunately, many of us are confused about who we are supposed to be tackling. And the Bible says that we wrestle not. Let me warm up. Okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can you see that? But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil's greatest wish is that you should not believe in any of this. Do you understand? His greatest wish is that you will consider all of this to be just big spiritual jargon that doesn't make any sense. That you should keep your Christianity just about yourself and about songs, and occasionally extend it to the Lord's Prayer. And when you're in a good mood, add Psalm 23. Do you understand? But don't get into any of this complex stuff. You see, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you understand? Look. Someone is ruling the darkness. When you're in darkness, you can't see. Do you understand? And it says the darkness, or the sense of, I don't know how to put this, but even that invisible situation that you are in has a ruler. Do you understand? Someone who dominates that atmosphere or that environment. Then it says against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual, it is spiritual, then it is wicked, and it's in the high place. Do you get it? Yeah. So that is evil raised to the power 3. Do you understand? If you know a little math, at least if you've been to second grade or so, you should understand evil raised to the power 3. Hallelujah. So a Christian is not supposed to take his Christian life for granted. Do you understand? And your enemy's greatest wish is for you to think that he doesn't exist. You see, it's for you to think that he doesn't exist. Oh, how the terrorists will wish that America will begin to think that with the death of Osama bin Laden, terror is over. There's no more terror in America or against us from any place. They would like us to think that way. They would like us to stop searching people's bags when we're going through the airports. They would like us to stop all of those things. Do you understand? Because they do not want and do not like your constant awareness of their existence. And they do not like to see us on guard. Do you understand? Plane by plane, aircraft by aircraft, flight by flight. They do not like it that we are on our guard the way we are. Hallelujah. Amen. Same thing for the Christian. Your enemy or your adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. The Bible says we have an adversary. Look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Okay. It's coming. Il vient. Okay. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Isn't it? Why? Because you're in a bad mood. Is that what he's saying? No. He says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may encourage. Seeking whom he may what? Devour. So the devil, whom the Bible calls your adversary, do you see? The devil, whom the Bible calls your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, and his agenda for you is to devour you. Do you see? Yeah. Kill, ill, devourer. Isn't that what he wants to do? Yeah. He wants to devourer. You get it? And this one looks like it's related to croissant. So he wants to devour you like a croissant. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, it's not a joke. Do you get it? And the fact that you are not engaged in it, or the fact that you don't feel it, does not mean you are not in it. Are you getting it? Yeah. It's like the fact that you haven't seen a terrorist at your doorstep doesn't mean he's not against you. Do you understand? I tell you that on September 11th, I turned on the television and I saw all that was happening. Then, shortly after that, as we were still taking it in and figuring out what was happening, I hear this knock on my door. It was a doorbell. The doorbell rang. And then when I went outside, I saw this man. Actually, I just went to the door and just peeped because everybody was afraid at that time. To my surprise, when I did the thing, just peeped like that, here was this man standing there in some kind of a turbine. I said, "Hey, they've come here! What?" Not knowing he was a cab driver who was lost. But I tell you that it was not easy for me at all. I said, "The guys have come here. What is going on?" Just wearing a turban like that, it's not easy. So, the Bible says that your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. He's looking for someone to devour. Well, the fact that he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, you understand, suggests that not everybody is devourable. Is it not the case? Say, "I will not be devoured." Say, "I will not be devoured." Amen. Not everyone is devourable, but some people are devourable, especially those who take him for granted. Amen. Those who act like he doesn't exist will be devoured by him. Hallelujah. So these verses are not in the Bible for nothing. There is a reason why they are there. Hallelujah. There's another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. If you just turn to it real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Okay, now it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Isn't it? They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So again, the Bible is saying that we are in a warfare. Do you see? We are in a warfare and it involves weapons. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not a joke. Amen. Amen. Now, who are these agents and demons that we are fighting against? Well, their champion is the devil himself. But according to Revelation chapter 12, let's read Revelation chapter 12. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Not this one. Not this Michael. Yeah. It's not this one. This one was named after him. Okay. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Do you see? And the dragon fought and his angels. Do you see? So Michael has angels and dragon has angels. Can you see that? And prevailed not, that is the dragon and his angels, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. That means they were expelled from heaven, isn't it? Now, the next verse, verse 9, says, and the great dragon was cast out. Now, who is this dragon? He says, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So, his three names. You get it? The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Do you see? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So the devil was cast out of heaven, and the Bible says it wasn't just him, but he came down with his angels. Do you understand? They threw him out of heaven. The dragon, the devil, Satan, old serpent. Is the same. You think you're the only one who has a middle name. The devil also has names. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, the devil, old serpent, Satan, dragon, same person. Do you get it? Yeah. So, and the Bible says he deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Hallelujah. Now, angels, what do angels do? According to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And let's read from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Hallelujah. Are you following my sermon this morning? I'm just introducing the subject, and then maybe you need to back up a little bit. Just back up a little bit. Let's start from 2. Which of his angels? Okay. So take us to maybe around verse 10 or verse 12, something like that. And then we'll read it. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, that's verse 1. Okay. Now verse 13 says, but to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Okay, he's saying something about, if you read that chapter, he's basically talking about the importance of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he's comparing him with angels. And he's saying that God has given him privileges that angels don't have. Do you understand? So from that, he's giving an example that to which of his angels did he say at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? So this is what he told Jesus. Do you get it? Now, verse 14, he explains why God has not said that to angels. He's saying that, are they not all ministering spirits? That's who angels are. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are you getting it? So angels are ministering spirits who are sent forth, do you see, to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So it means angels minister. Do you understand? Minister means serve. So angels serve. And the Bible calls them serving spirits. Do you get it? Now, when you have someone who serves you, it means the person attends to you. It means the person waits on you and typically is found around you. Isn't it? Now, and it says, number two, that they are sent forth. So it means angels are sendable. Isn't that what it says? Right. And they are sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. So it means angels are used to attending to people who have benefited from salvation. Do you get it? This is the original job description of an angel. Now, when that angel is cast out of heaven and his master has changed, do you understand? And his master has changed from a God who loves you and seeks your welfare into a devil who is an adversary who is seeking who he may devour, you can understand that the angel's job description will also change. I think you understand. I'm trying to explain to you how we get to have demons. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So you see that these guys who fell with, or who were cast out into the earth with the dragon, have actually been people who are used to and know how to access people who have benefited from salvation. They know how to hang around people who have benefited from salvation. Do you understand? Yeah. And so that is what they'll do. I mean, you should expect that when what an angel was doing before the angel fell, the angel will do the opposite of that now that they have fallen. Do you see? Like, if you have someone in the military who works with you to fight the enemy, when that person turns against you, he's going to use the same strategies, the same cleverness, the same training that he got against a different enemy. He's going to use that same strategy and the same training to work against you. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is why we all as Christians need to be aware and conscious, not afraid, but aware and conscious of demons. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the devil, power for power, he doesn't have any left. His power has been broken by the blood of Jesus. That is why the verse we read before says he is the old serpent who deceives the whole world. Because that's what he has left. Tricks. Are you getting it? The power of the devil is not in some eggs that were broken before your doorstep. You see, many of you, if you were to go home from church today, and just as you're approaching your door, you see 6 eggs that have been broken in front of your door with 2 feathers, 1 black, 1 white. And they've made it into a cross and it's on the eggs in front of your door. I don't think you will enter the house. Is it true or not? Yeah, you will not go home. You see, but what you should be doing is you should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Collect the eggs and go boil them and eat. Because that's all they are, that's all they ever will be, is just eggs. Do you understand? Somebody may have placed them there with an evil intention. But what I'm trying to say is not that there is no evil intention. I'm just saying that the power that is at work in you, you understand, makes those eggs into just eggs. That's all they will ever become when measured against the power that is at work in you. Hallelujah! The Bible says that it says, children, ye are of God, and you have overcome the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one is in us than anything that is anywhere else. You should not be afraid. Many of you Christians are afraid. Do you understand? Some of you are afraid of things you shouldn't be afraid of. That is why you see sometimes people come to church, but they still believe in so many things. They still have little gods hiding around them. Many years ago when I was in boarding school, there was one brother who had a string of vegetables around his waist. You get it? It's a little bit of an eggplant, some dried peppers, and different things put in a string around his waist. And it was supposed to be some kind of a protection for him. Well, you only need extra protection when you do not know God well enough. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because sometimes you find people buying extra things they don't need because they do not know what they already have. Do you get it? Like one day I was renting a car, and my credit card was going to pay a certain... They charge me, every time I use it to rent a car, they charge me specifically a certain amount because they are insuring the car, whether I like it or not. Do you see? And before, I didn't know that. So the guy behind the counter, you know how they have a way of putting fear in you. Yeah, this is 21.99 a day. You know, you're covered. You can crash the car, anything. Just leave it. We'll just take it. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, but if you don't pay it, you know, then well, if anything happens to the car, then I mean, you're in trouble. And by the way, we're gonna go after you first, and before we go after your insurance, they say all kinds of things, and you stand there trembling, and then you start to feel foolish. You just cast your mind forward a bit, and you are just thinking, now 3 days from now, if I'm in an accident, I'll be regretting that I missed $21.99. Do you see? And now I owe so much money. So then you take it. And the reason was that I did not know what I already had. Until one day, I called these credit card people and I said to them, my friend, explain to me this thing properly. You get it? Is this the same as that secondary insurance you get from using a credit card to do something, or this is different? Like I said, this is different because you are paying for it. It says every time you rent a car, we charge you whether you like it or not. And we charge you, you know, it's not, doesn't apply to every credit card, but the one I have has that. So you have to check. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I said, I when the guy explained it to me, then he said to me that you don't need to take it. He said, listen, when they ask you, say no. Take this one, but don't take this one. Do you see? Then I realized that I was adequately covered, only that I didn't know it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why we encourage people to get to know God. Because the shortfall in the knowledge of God that you have actually cost you a lot. Do you understand? It costs you unnecessary fears. It costs you unnecessary anxiety. It costs you unnecessary sleepless nights because you do not know the greater one and what he's able to do for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why you'll be afraid of eggs in front of your house, because you do not know the power of God. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? So God wants every Christian to understand that we have Luke chapter 10. Give us Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Or Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. But you just give us one of them. I think both of them are good verses for what we are sharing. Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. Have you found it? Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. It says, behold. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Behold, And over all, over how much of the enemy's power? No, you, I don't think you're being sincere. Tell me the truth. Over how much of the enemy's power? Are you serious? All means what? All means what? Everything. What does everything mean? You see, you're playing that game with me now. Everything means all. And all means what? Everything. And everything means without exception. Two. Star exception. Okay. Where is it? Somewhere here. Su tout la puissance de l'ennemi. Huh? Et rien ne pourra vous nourrir. Nourrir. Okay, what does this line mean? What does this one mean? Nothing. Which one is nothing? Rien. Rien ne pourra. Pourra means what? What? You see, it cannot. Okay, so nothing. Okay, and then this one is what? Hurt you. Oh, you hurt. You hurt. You hurt. Okay, right. So nothing shall you hurt, isn't it? Right. But that's what the Bible says. Listen, this is not a joke. The Bible said, he said, behold. Behold, behold. When you say behold, you say look. Do you get look? Do you understand? Yeah, because if you went into someone's house and you spent the whole afternoon shopping for them, you know, and you have arrived in the place, you bought everything they need, and then they suddenly come back after you with the same things again, one of the things you are going to say is, look, look, I've bought all these things already. Do you understand? Yeah, so it's an expression of, it's intended to get your attention. He said, look, I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now remember, the guy's name is Old Serpent. Do you understand? Yeah, so all his expressions, all his manifestations, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing. Say nothing. He says, nothing shall by any means. Do you understand? So it's not just the thing, but it's also the methods and the strategies. He says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you're using a Bible like mine, you'll find those words are in red. And these are the words of Jesus himself. Hallelujah. So I'm sharing with you this morning, and I'm telling you that when it comes to power for power, the enemy is no match, or you are no match for the enemy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the enemy does not have power. The devil doesn't have the power to make you do anything you don't want to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? The devil doesn't have the power to do any such thing. He has as much power as we give to him. He has as much power as our ignorance. Do you understand? The strength of his power is in the depth of our ignorance. That is where he gets his power from. But as soon as you begin to learn, and as soon as you begin to believe, his power begins to diminish. Hallelujah! So the Bible says that what he is good at is to deceive people. To deceive people, especially into making them take him for granted. Hallelujah. To blame things on other people when it's him. Do you understand? When it's a spirit behind it. Hallelujah. So in this message, I intend to share with you a lot. And I'm going to share with you for some time about this subject. Amen. Yes. We're going to learn. Number one, about the nature of evil spirits. Are you getting it? Then we're going to learn number two, about the activities of evil spirits. Do you understand? The things evil spirits do. Because I tell you that even the devil doesn't like to be falsely accused. He doesn't like to be blamed for things he didn't do. Say, look at it, they're doing it again. You say, I haven't done anything. And they say, it's me. Yet they didn't read the scripture that they have power over all my power. Now this little thing has happened. They say, I did it. And I didn't do anything. Hallelujah. And then the third thing you're going to learn is how to deal with it. Amen. Is that exciting? You're going to learn how to deal with evil spirits. How to overcome demons and evil spirits. Because God has given us power over evil spirits. And we'll fight them and win. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Some of you are afraid of witches. Demons, evil spirits. Some from your family, some from your village. Well, we will be silly if we say they don't exist. They exist. But what we must understand is that what we have is greater than anything they can do. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? But some of you are afraid when you go to certain homes, you can't eat. You're afraid. The only reason why I can't eat is bacteria. That's the only reason. Do you understand? But everything is sanctified by prayer. Do you understand? That is why you need to pray before you eat. Because you have the power. Do you understand? Someone was eating some food. Said that. Then she said someone had told her that they used the blood of human beings to cook it. In the realm of the spirit. You should ask yourself, if they are not afraid of you, why don't they serve the blood itself? Are you following what I'm saying? See, I told you all he has is tricks. Yeah. But if he has any real power, what he ought to do is to serve the blood itself. But you see that he wants you to eat blood, he has to trick you. But when you arrive and you see the food and God has blessed you with some good appetite, you're supposed to pray over the food, receive it with thanks, and eat it with strength. The only time that the Bible encourages us to abstain from foods offered to idols, he says we should do it for the sake of the brother who is standing by, who doesn't have faith to eat such things. But not because the food is anything. But he's saying that if you start to eat the foods that are offered to idols, maybe another brother who is not that mature in the Lord, he may misinterpret it. And say, it's okay. He will even take it further. That if we can eat the idol's food, we can even serve the idol. Huh. So, that is the only reason why God says we must exercise caution. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. So, I believe that in our approach to the study of demons and how to deal with them, there are two quick things that we need to do. Number one is that we need to learn how to identify evil spirits. Amen. We need to learn how to identify the devil when he's at work. Amen. We need to learn how to call things by their name. We need to learn how to stop pretending, do you understand, and call the thing what it is. In the Bible days when people came to Jesus, they were not confused at all about the reason for a problem. Do you see? Like, there was a woman in the book of Mark. Let's read that real quick before we close. The book of Mark. Wow, I'm blessed already. Matthew chapter 15, not Mark. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Can you see that? Now read the next verse. He says, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And then he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then verse 25 says, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice how someone was able to admit, do you understand, and recognize that, look, my daughter's behavior is because of evil spirits. Do you understand? See, sometimes a certain loyalty to ourselves, do you see, makes us act like hypocrites. Do you understand? And makes us not recognize the devil's hand at work. The modern world in which we live has developed explanations for everything. Do you understand? There are scientific explanations for everything. But you see, just because there's a scientific explanation for something doesn't mean that the thing is not the devil. You see, if you can explain something, it doesn't mean that the thing is not what it is. Hallelujah. The explanation itself is part of the greatness of God. What I mean is that if you can explain how fruits are formed, do you see, it does not eliminate the fact that God is the one who made it. Do you understand? The explanation actually testifies that God is great. That only He can make such a thing. Do you understand? Yeah. And so people come, study all these things, and then they come to a conclusion. They say the wonder of creation. Well, the wonder of creation points to the wonder of the Creator. Do you understand? So anything that we see that sort of awes us and is amazing to us has a Creator behind it. And the awe that we express is actually an awe that should go to the Creator. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So you find that this woman was able to come to the Lord and said, no, my daughter's behavior is an evil spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. She didn't say that my daughter's behavior is because of a rare psychological disorder. Do you understand? She said troubled teen because she didn't grow up, you know, with her father. You know, there's a certain lack of something, parenting, something defect. You see, some complex scientific explanations that seek to excuse the behavior. Hallelujah. In the Bible days, when they came, so even here, it's not Jesus who is saying that your daughter has an evil spirit. But the person who is bringing the daughter is saying that, look, Jesus, I know that this behavior is an evil spirit. I don't know what the daughter was doing. Do you get it? I don't know what the daughter was doing. But the woman knew that the symptoms and signs I'm seeing is an evil spirit. And by the time we're done with this lesson, we're going to learn the symptoms and signs of evil spirits or the presence of evil spirits. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then there's another one, the last one for today. There's another one that you find in the book of Mark, chapter 9. The book of Mark, chapter 9. And this time is a man. And he has a son. See? So, Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Do you understand? Yeah. Didn't say, I've brought to you a son who has a speech defect. Do you see? But he said, my son has a dumb spirit. And then he goes on to describe the symptoms. He says that wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So the next verse, verse 19, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to get to the place where you will be calling for the evil spirits. Bring him to me now. Bring that child to me now. Bring that situation to me now. Let me pray over this situation. There's a demon here. Let me cast that demon out. Hallelujah. And it's not for any special people. You can see that even this man, when he saw the situation, he thought, this: once you're a disciple of Christ, you should be able to handle this. That's why he took the demons to the disciples first. You get it? But the disciples, either they didn't know how much power, or the power had not been released. I don't know. But Jesus even looks disappointed that they couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? We need to have faith and to believe that demons are subject to us. Amen. Amen. Remember, they are used to obeying Christians. They are ministering spirits who are sent to minister for Christians. That means you and I can send an angel. We can send angels. That's what the Bible says. So angels minister to us. They wait on us. Angels stand by us. They do things for us. But just like any waiter, they just keep standing until you ask them for something. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you go to a restaurant, I tell you, the waiter will just be there until you speak. You have to say what you want them to do, and they go forth to do it. But what I'm saying is that God has established, do you see, that angels serve us. And the angels that fail also listen to us when we address them in the name of Jesus, which is the power that has defeated them, the power that fought and cast them into hell. Do you understand? That power is on our side. Can I have an amen? Amen. That power is what we use to wage our warfare. So although the Bible says we are involved in a wrestle, we are involved with demons and evil spirits and so on, it's not supposed to put fear in us. Can I have an amen? Amen. But rather, we are supposed to believe in God's power and what God has given us against it. Amen. Amen. And fight it and confess it and believe it. Luke chapter 10 verse 19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Whether it flies by night or crawls by day. Whether it's coming from Africa or from Australia. Whatever type, whether it's male or female, whatever type, whatever time, you must believe that you have power over this. If you don't believe this, you might as well forget about the Bible. If you don't believe Luke 10:19, then don't believe John 3:16. What do you think? Yeah, if you don't believe this, you shouldn't believe anything else that Jesus said. Hallelujah. Every believer has that power. Amen. That's why the devil likes to trick us and tell us stories and make us doubt the power. That's why he likes to deceive us. Amen. Amen. Deceive us so that we will not believe in the power that God has given to us. But every Christian who is walking like a Christian should, you have power over all the power of the enemy. It's always a problem when you have compromise or when you live in compromise that you are not even sure of yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you team up with someone to do evil, then later on you want to instruct the person. The person will say, but my friend, the two of us were in this. Do you see? That is why criminals like to bribe law enforcement people. Do you see? Because once they give you money and you take it, you can't arrest them. You see, so when they break into someone's house, they're pini, 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 pini. And then they try to run away. When they come, it's you. Oh, Lord, let's go and continue. Then the other guy says, but the police is here. Oh, Forget about the police. Who is here? The one we bribed. Do you understand? The one who has compromised. Yeah. He's the one trying to arrest us. It's a joke. So you see, the police officer comes and then he looks at the situation. He sees that he's powerless. You get it? Not that he's not a police officer. He is still a police officer, but because of his compromise, he's now powerless. Do you understand? So he can only encourage them, okay, you just hurry up and don't just... don't take everything. Just leave something. Leave something and just hurry up and go. You get it? So when the criminals are done and they leave, then he will say, Pinip, Pinip, He's a weak police officer because of his compromise. But any police officer who has not been bribed by these ones, who has not been a partaker of their sins and their evil, can stand before them and say, I arrest you. Yeah. I arrest you right now, and I'm taking you into custody, and anything you say, what is the anything you say? You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. Yeah. Because he's clean. Hallelujah. When he's not clean, when he says something like that, then we have to shut up. Yeah. One day some people tried to cast out some devils in the Bible. Seven brothers. Their father was called Sceva. They were Scevalets. Then they went to the demon and they said, hey! 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 Listen! In the name of Jesus, the one that Paul was talking about, the one Jesus, we don't know him ourselves, but Jesus whom Paul preaches, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out, come out. Hey, come out. And then the demon said, hey, my friends, why? Disturbing me this afternoon. Listen, Paul, I know. This Jesus you are talking, I know who you are talking about. But who are you guys? The Bible says the demon turned on them and he whipped the boys, beat the boys, seized all their clothes and sent them away. Yeah. Because he thought they were friends. Now they had turned against him. They were casting him out. Said, I will show you where power is. Hallelujah. So it pays to live pure and holy for God. Hallelujah. Then you can be sure of yourself. When you tell the enemy, I arrest you, get out of here, you are sure of yourself. Amen. Because when it comes to power, he does not have power over you. Amen. We read it and I believe it's true. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Next time we're going to continue from there. Amen. Going to continue sharing. I'm going to show you a man who had many devils in him. And we're going to learn a lot from that passage in Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Amen. Just bow your heads with me, everybody, and just pray and thank God for the power that he has brought into your life just by knowing him. Thank him for the power. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I didn't realize I am so powerful. I didn't realize I'm so anointed. I didn't realize you have given me such power to cast out devils. It says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That means the devil's ability to make you sick, the devil's ability to make you depressed, his ability to make you unhappy, his ability to deceive you. He says, I give you power over all of that. I give you power over all of that. Every power of Satan, if he can do it, you have power against it. And I want you to pray right now and thank God for that power. And say, Lord, I accept the power. I embrace the power. I receive the power in the name of Jesus. I'm going to use the power. I'm going to walk in the power. I'm going to walk in the grace and in the power of God, because that is what you have given to me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory this afternoon. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Let your word be established and let your word be increased in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you once again for this afternoon. And thank you for the opportunity to share and to hear the word of God. Thank you for the power in our lives. Thank you for the power that comes to us through Christ Jesus. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are made mighty through God. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. All our power comes through him. And we thank you for the relationship we have with him. We pray, Lord, that we will not fall off. We will not fall away. We will not backslide. We will continue to love Jesus. We will continue to serve him with faithfulness. Help us, O God, not to compromise. Help us not to live in sin. Help us not to give Satan an advantage over us by letting him into various aspects of our lives, and thereby making us powerless against him. We pray, Father, that everyone hearing me today will rise up and take what you have given us. Rise up and take the power that you have given us in Christ Jesus. And that we will go forth and exercise it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.